In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No metaphors, no comparisons, no parables. Jesus speaks plainly, clearly, and directly. He's not clever, he's not gentle, he's not winsome. He has come to preach repentance and the kingdom of God. No one can deny his words, for he has done all things well. Moses and the prophets are also on his side, so no one can accuse him of any evil, any wrongdoing. Soon they will try, but they could barely find two witnesses to agree on anything. He is blunt and right to the point. His words sound harsh and unloving, especially coming from the lips of the loving Savior, but he has come to carry out the Father's will, so he must speak the truth. And the truth is this: those who reject him do not belong to God. Still, the Jews put him on trial in the court of public opinion. Their conclusion? You are a demon-possessed Samaritan. Why? Because he hurt their feelings. Only the devil could preach the law so that it scares us, make such harsh demands, or say these outrageous things. God cannot be stern or unloving or mean. He is love. He is good. He is gracious. He understands what life is like and understands what we are and are able not to do. He doesn't expect more from us than what we are able. We've kept his law and then some. We've studied his word and then some. We've been confirmed. We do the work of God. And Jesus doesn't care. For the work of God is this: to believe in the one whom he has sent. They dishonor him, and so they dishonor God himself. He is not demon-possessed, but he is the one who is equal to the Father in all things. He is the one who gives life to man, victory over death. No metaphors, no parables, no comparisons, just straight reality. Jesus alone gives life. And now the Jews are certain that he is demon-possessed because Abraham died and so did the prophets. Jesus was not there to keep them alive. They think Abraham and the prophets are on their side. But they forget the very same word which tells them about Abraham, the very same word that the prophets wrote, has found Jesus innocent of every sin, perfect in every way. So they are the ones on the outside looking in, and it doesn't make them feel all that good. But rather than repenting, they double down. Who do you think you are? I am, Jesus replies. I am is the name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush. So by saying I am, Jesus is saying he is God. I am he who ate with Abraham and promised him a son in 1 year's time. I am he who stayed the hand of Abraham and saved his son. I am he who appeared to Moses in a burning bush. I am he who drowned Pharaoh and all his army in the Red Sea and yet led my people Israel through that same sea on dry ground. I am he who thundered and shook Sinai. I am he who atones for your sin by blood. I am he who hides behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies on top of the mercy seat. I am he who loves you, though you have been unfaithful, who sanctifies you, though you have sinned, and who saves you from all your enemies. I am he who is eternal, omnipotent, and gracious. And the Jews pick up stones to stone him. They do not want this God. Enough is enough. They know full well Jesus is God, but it's not the God that they want. So he slips through the crowd. He leaves the temple. But he will come back. When it is his time, he will come back as a lamb that is silently led to the slaughter. No resistance, no arguments, not even a word spoken. He will come back. not because they love him or want him, but because even though they hate him, he still loves them. He wants to sanctify them, to save them, to forgive them, to gather them to himself, and to reconcile them to the Father. They show by their words and actions that they do not belong to God. This God, Jesus, is too inconvenient for them. He has shifted their view of what God should be. They want to create a God of their own liking, their own imagination, a God who understands, a God who doesn't make them uncomfortable in any way or doesn't ask them to do something that is outside of their comfort zone. Rather than calling them to repentance, they want a God who makes them feel good and validates who they are. So they accuse Jesus of having a demon, when in reality they are the ones who belong to the devil because they do not belong to Christ. You see, demons are at play here. They cloud your thinking. Yet Christ cuts through the fog. Listen to what he says. The Father has sent him to you. He makes you uncomfortable because he pulls you out when you tried to hide from him. He exposes all your nakedness and your sin and your shame. He calls you out on it when you try to tweak his word to make it more convenient to the life that you want to live. You can't make him wait until you get your stuff done. He's not convenient for you. He doesn't work on your timetable. You can't just set him on the shelf and then pull him out when you think that you need him. Today is the day that he comes to you. Make the time. He doesn't care if his laws disrupt your way of life. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God has not come to make your life easy or convenient, but he has come to save you. To sin is to accuse God of lying. We can sugarcoat it all we want by saying we're being loving, understanding to others, or simply modifying ourselves to fit the culture. But it doesn't change the reality. So why would we ever say, or so when God says, let us not give up meeting together, why would we ever say, well, he doesn't say how often. When God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, why would we respond, well, I want others to stay out of my business, so I'll just ignore them. Or when God tells us, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven, why would we say? Religion is private. It's a personal decision. And the one thing society tells us, or the two things society tells us not to discuss, are religion and politics. How easily we can twist and conform God's word to fit our comfort zone. And yet our God is not a God who leaves us where we are comfortable. But he is a God who tells Abraham to take his one and only son, the son who will give birth to the Savior, and to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. God is a God who expects us to follow him. God is a God who has come to save us. We cannot create a God who is convenient for us, a God who makes us feel comfortable, a God who leaves us where we want to be. For he is a God who pulls us out of our comfort and tells us to follow him because he is leading us to eternal salvation. So do we believe him or not? Do we believe him or not when he tells us the soul that sins shall die? And the wages of sin is death. And your iniquities have separated you from God. Repent. Evil thoughts have danced around in your mind. You are to blame. You can't pin it on the devil or on someone else for your sin. You have wanted a God that works for you, a God who's convenient for you, and a God who leaves you alone when you want to do this or that. So you are not worthy that he should come underneath your roof. You are not worthy that you should bear his name or even receive his love. But still, he loves you. Still he has baptized you and sealed you with his very name. And still he has decided to make your body his holy temple. Strange as it seems, God does not come to punish you, but to save you. He switched places with you, so that like Isaac, you now go free. And he, like that ram crowned with a thicket of thorns, he goes to the slaughter. He's still just and holy and demanding. He will not compromise his word or his commandments. But he also is I am, the God whose blood covers your sins and who forgives you when you stumble. He fulfilled the Father's will and has won your salvation, and he still fulfills the Father's will by coming to you to give you that salvation. So stop asking such foolish questions such as, how often do I have to come and receive God's love? And simply believe him. Love is present. Salvation is given. Christ himself is here with eternal gifts that he wants to pour out on you so your cup overflows, not just once or twice, but constantly. Believe him. Being a Christian is an inconvenience. It will cost you. Christ said, pick up your cross and follow me. The devil is your enemy. You are an outsider in this world as long as you live here, and you stick out when you live like a Christian, such as when you decide to give thanks to God for your lunch. You are different. And even as the world hated Christ, so also they will hate you, for no servant is greater than his master. But it's worth the cost. So take heart. Before Abraham was, Jesus is. I am. He has loved you from before the foundation of the world. He has showed you that love on his cross. He will always love you. He will always save you. So do not be afraid. Stand firm in his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.